Numbers chapter 21. I want to go back a few chapters and bring us up to date what's happened thus far with the Hebrew children. But our text will begin in Numbers 21 when we get there. Numbers chapter 9, they observed the Passover for the second year. And they had the pillar of cloud introduced and a night fire by night introduced. Chapter 10, silver trumpets came about. They had different trumpet signals for breaking camp. God was moving them to get ready for war. Chapter 11, Israel complains. God gives Moses 70 helpers and they had quail for supper. Chapter 12, Miriam and Aaron both speak out against Moses. And Miriam is stricken with leprosy. And the camp didn't go anywhere until she got that right, and then they moved on. Chapter 13, 12 spies went out. 10 came back with an evil report. 2 came back with a good report. Joshua and Caleb says, we're well able to do it. Let's go get them now. But 10 says, no. Chapter 14, Israel rebels against God. God offers to pass judgment on all of them. Moses prayed for them, and he spared that judgment. But he said, all you complainers and murmurers are not see the promised land, but your children that you're worried about, they're going to go in and see it, but you won't see it. Chapter 15, more laws. Chapter 16, 3 wicked men rebelled against God, and the earth opened up, fire came from heaven, and almost 15,000 people were consumed. Chapter 17, Aaron's priesthood was settled by a budding dead stick in the Ark of the Covenant. Chapter 18 and 19, provisions for the priesthood. Chapter 20, Miriam and Aaron both die. Moses is judged because he disobeyed God, and he smote the rock instead of speaking to the rock. And we see that God is no respecter of persons. That brings us up to chapter 21. I'll read the first 4 verses. We'll have a word of prayer and ask God to speak to our hearts. Chapter 21 of Numbers, verse 1. And when King Arad, the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And he called the name of the place Hormah, which means utter destruction, by the way. Verse 4, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege to stand behind this pulpit and preach the Word of God. We pray, God, you help us all have listening ears and hearts that will learn from this message. And if the Holy Spirit convicts us of a need in our life, that we'll respond and obey Him. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. I ask, God, that you'll help me with this message. Fill me with your Spirit. And if there be anyone here today that has never truly been saved, if they're not 100% sure they're going to heaven, that they can make that sure before they leave this place. I pray, God, for Christians that you help bring us closer to you. Help us, Lord, to love you more, to worship you in spirit and in truth. May your will be done in this church, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So we see in verse 4, I'll read that again, they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. That is to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Number one, we see Israel's discouragement. The devil has a lot of tools in his box, and most of all, he uses discouragement against Christians. All of us have been discouraged one time or another. It seems to be happening over and over. If we let God slip away out of our life and get off the right track, it's easy to be discouraged, is it not? The country of Edom would not let them go through the country, so they had to go around it. It brought much discouragement. Go back to chapter 20 and look at verse 14. Numbers chapter 20, verse 14. And Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Edom. Thus saith thy brother Israel, thou knowest all the travail that hath befallen us. Look at verse 17. Let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country. We will not pass through the fields or through the vineyards, neither will we drink of the water of the wells. We will go by the king's highway. I like that. We ought to all be going by the king's highway. We will go by the king's highway. We will not turn to the right hand or to the left until we pass our borders. That ought to be a picture of us going through this Christian life. I'm going straight through on the king's highway. We're just pilgrims passing through. I love that flag right there. I was in the military. My dad was in the military. But this flag here is more precious to me than that one. We're citizens of heaven just passing through here. Just pilgrims passing through. Going straight through, not turning to the right or to the left. Look at verse 18. And Edom said unto him, Thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with the sword. And the children of Israel said unto him, We will go by the highway, and if I and my cattle drink of thy water, then I will pay for it. I will only, without doing anything else, go through on my feet. And he said, Thou shalt not go through. If we're going through this world and we start drinking the world's water, we're sure going to pay for it. There's a high price for low living. And they said, We're just going to pass through Edom. We're not going to drink of your water. If we do, we'll pay for it. And they said, No. So they're going around the land of Edom. And because of their detour, they were much discouraged because of the way. God allowed this detour for two truths. Number one, it was God's way. They weren't going contrary to God's will. I said this morning in Sunday school, sometimes the Lord allows us to go through the storms and not around the storms. When Jesus told the disciples to get in the boat and go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and they came across a storm, that storm wasn't because they were out of God's will. They were in God's perfect will, and they hit a storm. It was God's way to go around the land of Edom. It's a mistake to think God's way is always Comfort Street. Comfort Street and Jubilation Avenue, because it's not always that way, is it? If somebody told you when you got saved, everything is going to turn out pinky keen, I mean, everything's going to be a bowl of cherries, that wasn't true. Because we have some trials and testings and storms to go through along the way. God's strength comes with us when faith, when we go through trials and testings. Like I said this morning, you can't climb a mountain if the mountain is smooth. So they're going around the land of Edom, and they were much discouraged because of the way. Not only God's way, but it was a good way. It led to the promised land. Their discouragement helped them to grow in faith. God's way is always a rewarding way. So we see Israel's discouragement. And that leads us to verse 5. Next, we see Israel's deliberate sin. Look at verse 5 of Numbers 21. And the people spake against God and against Moses, Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in this wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. Talking about manna. They spoke out against God. They spoke out against God's man. They spoke out against God's supply. Didn't Paul tell us, with food and raiment, therewith be content? Hey, be just and content with a bowl of Wheaties as eggs and bacon and grits. Amen? You don't have to have a brand new car, but all of you drove up here. Anybody have to walk to church today? All of you drove in some kind of vehicle. It might not have been a Lincoln. It might have been a Volkswagen. But you got here. Amen? I'm not saying anything against Volkswagens. I like Volkswagens. What am I saying? God gives us what we need, food and raiment, therewith be content. But they weren't content, and they spoke out against God. That's bad enough. They spoke out against God's man. They spoke out against God's supply. Israel's deliberate sin. That sin led them to the next verse, verse 6, Israel's death. Verse 6 of Numbers 21. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Israel's death, dying because of sin. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. Can you get the picture? Here's the tabernacle out in the wilderness. To the north of the tabernacle are three tribes. To the east are three tribes. To the south are three tribes. To the west are three tribes. 12 tribes of Israel camped all around the tabernacle. And here comes the snakes because of the sin of speaking out against God, against God's man, against God's supply. Here comes the serpents. Now, these weren't little gardener snakes. These were poisonous vipers. We have several poisonous snakes in our country. We got copperheads, rattlesnakes, moccasins, coral snakes. Before I got saved, I used to hunt rattlesnakes. I used to know a guy had a gun shop. All around his gun shop, on three walls, about 5 foot off the ground, he had 20-gallon aquariums, and all those aquariums were full of snakes, and they're all poison snakes, mostly rattlers, moccasins, some coral snakes. He had a 12-foot constrictor, boa constrictor. And he talked to me into going hunting with him, hunting rattlesnakes. And hunting rattlesnakes is down in Florida, below 50 degrees, and rattlesnakes are going down in a hole. They'll share a hole with a gopher turtle. And we'd run a hose down in there, blow out the dirt, pour just an ounce of gas, blow the fumes, and the snakes come out. And when they come out, they're about drugs. Some of them don't make it out. We pick them up and put it in a sack like a pillowcase. We sell them to Ross Island Silver Institute, Ross Island, Wincoast for Silver Springs. Silver Springs. Ross Island's Reptile Institute in Silver Springs, Florida. I don't do that since I got saved, but before I was a snake handler. Poisonous snakes. I've seen men bitten with rattlesnakes. They were in a coma in the hospital the next day. I've been bitten by my boot, on my boot, but not on my hand or leg or anything. Poisonous snakes. I want you to get the picture. Poisonous snakes are crawling through the camp. All 12 tribes, and they're biting people. And people are dying. I said, much people of Israel died. Why? Israel's death was caused by Israel's sin. God sent judgment, and the snakes were coming in. Yeah. Brother Levinka, this is a new approach to soul winning. You knock on a door, and a lady answers the door and says, ma'am, do you know you've been snake bit? That might get their attention. We've all been bitten by the serpent of sin. All of sin had come short of the glory of God. So here's the picture. People are dying because of their sin. It's chaos here. Look at the next verse, verse 7. We see Israel's changed direction. Verse 7, Numbers 21. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, that's a good move, isn't it? They came back to the man of God. The man of God was their spokesman between them and God the Father. And said, we have sinned. Confession is always the right thing to do when we've sinned. And then names their sin. We have spoken against the Lord and against thee. That's a good thing for us to do when we've sinned and God passes judgment on us. He chastises us. We know we've done wrong. The Holy Spirit has convicted us of our sin. And something's happening because of it. They went back to the man of God and said, we have sinned. And named their sin. We've spoken against God and against thee. And then they said this. Pray unto the Lord. They're doing good up to now. Then they get in trouble again. Look what it says. That he take away the serpents from us. Now they're dictating to the man of God how to pray. Moses, we've sinned. We sinned against God. We sinned against you. We want you to pray that God will take away the snakes. It wasn't God's will to take away the snakes. It was God's will to provide a cure for the snake bite. It's not God's will to reverse what happened in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve fell and we all have a sinful nature. It was God's will to provide redemption for the sin, for our sin because of our carnal nature. They did good when they came back and confessed their sin, came back to the man of God, but they got out of line when they told him how to pray. And right there at the end of that verse 7, it says, and Moses prayed for the people. Now, it doesn't tell us how he prayed, but I think he prayed something like this. Lord, we're sure in a mess down here. We've got people dying on all sides. What do you want us to do? Moses didn't dictate to God what to do. Moses asked God what he wanted him to do. So we see Israel's changed direction. Then they dictated to God. Now in verse 8, we see God's divine plan. Verse 8. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten when he looketh upon it shall live. Can you imagine the leaders of these tribes that have come to Moses? They confessed to him and said, we've done wrong. Man, we spoke out against you and God, we're sorry. Pray that God will take away the snakes. Moses prays and he gets up from praying. He says, here's what we're going to do, men. We're going to get some brass together. We're going to melt it down and form it like these serpents that are crawling through our camp. Can you imagine what these leaders are saying? Moses, are you crazy? We've got enough snakes. You want to make a snake out of brass? What's that going to do? We need some kind of serum. We need some kind of medicine. We need some help from God. We need him to touch us. He says, make a serpent of brass. Moses, you've lost your mind. Have we ever done that to God? Have we asked God to get us out of the mess we're in? And God gives us a remedy. God gives us a plan. God opens the door and says, Lord, this can't be you. This can't be right. I can't do this. God doesn't always have to make sense to us. We just need to obey God when he says do this or do that. We need to do it. Amen. It shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten when he looketh upon it shall live. Verse 9. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass, if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. He did just what God told him to do. No more, no less. And that's what God expects out of us. We have His written will right here. He expects us to live by His written will. And when He asks Him a personal question, He expects us to live by His perfect will for us when He gives us an answer. And He will show us through the Holy Spirit, through something that happened in your life, through the Word of God. He'll show us His perfect will for us. Moses made the serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass. I like this part. Huh? Can you imagine these two guys? One of them really hurting. The other's just got bit lately. He's not hurting as bad. He said, man, what are we going to do? I'm suffering. This thing really starting to sting me. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what the man of God said. He said, go look at upon the serpent of brass and I'll live. He said, oh, you can't do that. Hey, you're crazy. Those guys are fanatics. That's not the right thing to do. He said, yeah, I'm going. I'm going to do that. And he starts limping up. He's hurting. He's in pain. By the way, the serpent of brass was set upon a pole somewhere out in the middle. It wasn't set in some secret tent. Say, hey. The serpent in the tribe of Judah, the third row of tents, the next to the last tent, in there. Don't tell anybody, just a select few. Just a certain few. Don't tell everybody where the snake is. Oh, no, it was lifted up high in the middle of the camp where everybody could see it. He comes limping up there trying to obey the man of God. He said, boy, I'm going to believe. I don't understand it, but I'm going to believe it. And he looks up at that serpent with a believing heart. The pain is gone. Oh, glory, hallelujah. The pain is gone. It works just like God's man said it would work. And salvation is just that simple, just that easy. It works just like God said it would. If you believe with repentance in your heart, you can be saved. You can know you've got a home in heaven. You can have eternal life starting right here, not when you die. Israel's death. Israel's changed direction. God's divine plan. Amen. Another snake, a serpent lifted up. What a crazy plan. I thought that same way when I got saved. I've given some of you my testimony. When I got saved in the dining room of my home, October 1st, coming up on my anniversary, October 1st, 1974, it can't be that easy. It can't be that simple. We got through praying. That preacher said, are you saved? I said, no. Got to be more to it than that. And I thought, your life went on a set of scales. And I knew my bad outweighed my good by a long way. You don't know my testimony before I got saved. It's not pretty. I didn't live a pretty life before I got saved, brother. My bad far outweighed my good. And that preacher said, doesn't have anything to do with bad and good. It has to do with you by faith believing Jesus died for your sin. You're willing to turn from your sin? Change your mind about your sin? That's repentance. And I said, yes. He showed me Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. We prayed the second time. That's when I got in. Didn't understand it all, but I believed it all. Israel's changed direction. God's divine plan. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Behold and believe by grace through faith. Just that simple. Now, it doesn't stop there. I like verse 10. Matter of fact, verse 10 is my favorite verse in this whole story. We see Israel's departing. Israel's departing. Look at verse 10. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in Obooth. Get the picture again. Here's the tabernacle. 12 tribes all around that. People are dying. But some are coming to the serpent of brass and looking, and some are living. The cure to the snake bite. It said in verse 10, the children of Israel set forward. They moved. The men that were assigned to watch the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, they looked up and said, man, people are dying. Hey, look, the cloud is moving. Oh, no, not in the middle of all. Yeah, it is. Look. He looked up. He got a reference. He said, it is moving. The cloud is moving. God is moving us. And they sounded that trumpet signal. And all those that were alive and living picked up camp. And they moved on. Verse 10 is a picture of the rapture of the church. When God knew the last one that was going to come look at that snake and be healed was healed, He moved the cloud and they moved on. When God knows the last one that's saved on this earth is going to be saved and is saved, the trumpet's going to sound, that shout from heaven's going to come out, and we're all going to leave this place. And the children of Israel set forward. One day we're going to step forward to heaven. If you've been to the serpent of brass, if you've been to Jesus. Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That's a twofold meaning. He had to be lifted up on the cross to be crucified to pay for our redemption. We need to lift Him up as well. Are we lifting up Jesus? Are we lifting Him up and proclaiming His salvation, His redemption, free of charge? Israel deliberately sinned. Israel experienced death. Israel changed their direction, and some lived. The Sermon on the Mount by Jesus in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 says there's a broad way, there's a narrow way. The broad way are those that wouldn't go and look on the brass serpent, that didn't believe God, but the narrow way represent those who did look, and they were cured of the snake bite, and when the trumpet sounded, they were able to pick up tent, move on, a rapture of the church. Great story. What about you today? Have we deliberately sinned? Guilty. Have we changed direction? I have. That doesn't make me perfect. I'm glad God allows U-turns. No matter which way we're going, if it's away from God, no matter how far we've gotten away from God, He allows U-turns. He allows us to come back. Free redemption. Behold, the serpent of brass. A picture of Christ's suffering. A picture of Christ's redemption. Of Christ's vicarious death, a substitute for you and I. And if we don't accept that, then we're going to have to pay the death penalty ourselves in the lake of fire forever and ever. What about you today? Have you looked? Have you believed? Have you trusted Christ? Do you have Him in your heart? Not in your head, but in your heart. Here's the second question. If you've done that, are you lifting up Jesus? Is your life a testimony to His saving grace? Are we helping others to come to Christ? Hey, look, go to the center of the camp. It's right there. It's easy to see. Just look and believe. Have we done that? Are we doing that to other people? Handing out a tract, inviting people to church. Two things I said we need to do. Get the people to Jesus. Get Jesus to the people. Let's bow our heads. Song leader will come with a song today. Song of invitation.